أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، اللقاء الرابع تحت عنوان الإسلام والجنس. This is our fourth lecture under the title Sex in Islam. Brothers and sisters, we were talking about the sexual lust. One reminder that the happy person in this life is the one who leaves the dunya behind before the dunya leaves him. The one who builds his grave up with good deeds before he resides in it. The one who pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prior to meeting him. And finally, the one who has a righteous wife. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, min alamat al-sa'ada al-mar'a al-saliha. Among the signs of happiness for a man is a righteous woman. Those ahadith, I mean, this is one part from that hadith. Those ahadith and other, inshallah, I intend to make special lectures for those ahadith to talk about. And there are so many ahadith that relates to our daily lives that needs to be explained in details rather than just brushing over it. And this is one of them. It's actually four things, but this is what relates to our topic. Know for a fact that love is a game. Actually, it is the only game that both players are winners at the end. If you have true love between you and your spouse, both of you are winners. You cannot play that game of love and lose. So this is a real fact. Also know that the real relationship between a husband and a wife is not limited to sexual satisfaction or literally intercourse. Many people fail to understand that, and probably from the talk that I have spoken about, you may end up concluding that, and I don't want you to do that. As I said, I want you to really pay attention, and I want you to really understand the hints, and I want you to really apply whatever I say in relation to the topic that we are talking about. And I want you to open your mind from the Islamic point of view. And I want you to relate to the real life. I don't want you to just jump to conclusions or according to your traditions or according to your taste. If you don't like something, then conclusion, everyone else who likes it is perverted. Or if you like something, that everybody has to like it. Just be open-minded, and inshallah, you will end up understanding everything we're talking about. So the real relationship between a husband and a wife is not really limited to just sexual thing. Because despite the fact that it is, despite the pleasure that both husband and wife get from that, it is not limited to it. You need to understand that hugs, kisses, touches, all of those things are just as important for the spouse as any other thing. In fact, a woman who receives that from her husband, she feels that she was really satisfied and she is under the shade of a real man. I'm passing that information to let you know that true man is not really in sex itself, by itself. This is not what women look for. Women look for real relationship where she is treated like a woman and the man is behaving like a man, not just a male, a man. A major difference between the two. So this is one thing. Last time, one of the questions that one of the sisters said that when she gets angry at her husband, is it haram or prohibited to deprive him from a sexual relationship? This really, it bothers me to think that someone who really loves someone would do that, especially knowing how much this person admiring or liking that thing that you are depriving him from. Now, one thing that we can always have good suspicion that she doesn't know that much about that relationship and how it is related to men. But a real good wife understands that the man, to complete his religion, he gets married. He is getting married to complete the religion, not to destroy his religion. He is willing to spend, he's willing to suffer, he's willing to work, he's willing to protect, he's willing to do anything for fulfilling that desire. And then he ends up with someone who is depriving him from or charging him for, you'll be surprised. Do you think some women charge? Yes, they do, to their husbands. Some women take advantage of it. It's sick, to be honest with you, it's sick. Now, if you're using that in a nice way, in a good way, in a playful way, there's no problem with it. But if you're using it really taking advantage of your husband, or vice versa, but usually it's not, then definitely this is a sick way of dealing, and we don't call that love, we don't call that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commends, and at the same time, you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So an appeal to the sisters that we know that this is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how men created, sexually driven, easily, immensely love sex. So women should understand that they should not test men with that. Pious men control it. Pious men control it. People who follow their whims and desires cannot control it. But at the same time, when you find a pious man controlling it, don't test him. Don't be provocative. Don't dress. Don't do any of those things, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him with that. And when you come and you intensify that, you are really exposing yourself to major sin, not only for yourself but also for those whom you deviate. You find women, when they go out, they dress top fashion and they put perfume and everything. What for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. There's a story, a real story, sad story, but boy, it is so fitting when we get to it, inshallah, referring to those women who like to display their beauty outside, not inside. And you will see the conclusion and how much that woman really deserves it. Women who do that, they are testing men. They are provoking men. They are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they need to come back to their senses. If you want to do that, if you want to display any of that, do that. And you get rewards for it if you do it to whom? To your husband. Talking about sexual drive and talking about men and talking about all that stuff, listen to this. Ever heard of vacuum sex? I couldn't believe my eyes. Listen to this. A man gets 90 days in jail for vacuum sex, Thursday, 26th of March. Associated Press reported that this man, Jason Leroy Savage, from Saginaw, Michigan, was caught by police performing sex act with a car wash vacuum. think, how much you really need to express. Yeah, I don't know. You can look at it from so many different aspects. You can look at it from why, what, where, how. All of those questions that you just relate, it all boils down to this is what men are, generally. This is how severe this subject is when it comes to men. This is what unrighteous sisters, Muslim or non-Muslim, do to provoke men. So you can imagine how far a person may go to satisfy that desire. You can really understand how intensively Islam spoke about it to satisfy it. How Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he directed men to marry, as soon as you can afford it, get married. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does not talk out of his whims and desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how He created us and knows how easily it is for us to deviate. Therefore, direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed this intense desire in a positive way. Marriage. And that's why He said, if you can't, then fast. Not be patient, fast. Which is depriving yourself from something. If you don't deprive yourself from, it's going to intensify it and keep it more. Because this sexual drive gets stronger with food. When the person is not hungry, he is a lot more active than when he is hungry. Because it is all related to blood. And when you are hungry, the blood flow is minimum. And that's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءَ. Fasting is something that curves. It doesn't stop, but curves it. Add to that his piety, that would help him to control himself more. But who is there to fast all the time? And how much piety you need to do that? Not many people have it. Add to that the temptation that they are exposed to. Remember, the topic that we left off from last time, it's relating to we are here in America. We're not in Jordan, we're not in Somalia, we're in America. So this topic is related to where we are, and we need to understand that and relate the topics accordingly. You can imagine the trial of the woman of the Israelites. When she was short, what did she do? Invented shoes to look tall. What for? To attract men. When she thought this might not be enough, she used perfume. What for? To attract men. So everything women find, just they try to be experts in everything, and of course themselves, and add to that those people who are in charge of the fashions and such, they do the same thing. Tayyib, what is the benefit of me talking about the intensity of the lust when it comes to men? My benefit, or the benefit I'm trying to pass, is for righteous sisters. Number one, to fulfill the desire and the need of her husband that she claims she loves. If you know the percentage of divorce and percentage of family problems because of the lack of this problem, she and he would understand that it is an important thing that we have to look after. So if a woman were to be asked by her husband to fulfill his desire in something that she may think it is strange, or she may belittle it, or she may see it disgusting, or she may reject it, she should not think all evils of her husband. But she has to understand, and she has to ask, and she has to accommodate, and she has to do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people can tell you, if everything for the sake of love becomes easy, it should be easier when you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How about when you're doing it for the sake of love and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? should be more easier. And this is what we hope, that the relationship between a husband and wife is based on love and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as it is not haram, there should be some accommodation, there should be some understanding, there should be something to be addressed. Do not dismiss it, but think of it and see it. Not haram, then do something about it. Also, I'm expecting that a righteous woman who is willing to get this great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because she is satisfying her husband, keeping him away from haram. And this makes her husband happy with her, and he is, yani her husband, if he is happy with her, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with her. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen to this carefully, أَيُّمَ امْرَأَةٍ مَاتَتْ وَزَوْجُهَا رَاضٍ عَنْهَا دَخَلَتِ الْجَنَّةِ. Any woman who dies while her husband is happy with her, she will enter the Jannah. You know, provided she's doing the obligations and staying away from haram. So, a woman is not willing to do that, to sacrifice for the Jannah, for someone she already loves? Strange. Also, I'm expecting that sister to know, when she knows that the deviation of the husband is usually because of shortcoming on her part. I can guarantee you that 99.9999 of men who speak about the second wife is because they're not happy at home, sexually. Because if the person is satisfied sexually, he would not be talking about it. The only time a person talks about it too much, because he needs it or he's missing something. This is a fact and this is a reality. So a woman should not really, a man should not be teasing his wife with that, but it could be a hint from him to his wife to do something. And a wife, a good wife, who's looking for the reward and looking for the man that she loves, she should take that hint, translate it, understand it, and act upon it. This is another thing that the explanation of that intensity of the lust, righteous women should benefit from. Also, one more thing. The immense need of the man for women and for the body of women, that it is so attractive, this should lead women to have mercy on men. Which means they don't really need many temptations. So if a woman likes to tempt, she should try that with her husband, not when she goes outside. They should care for any moves, any things they do, anything they say in front of men, because it can be interpreted, understood, and it can affect righteous men before unrighteous men. Also, they should not accept the fact to go out exposing their beauty, even if their husband wants them to. In a case of a woman may not be wearing the hijab, we cannot conclude that every woman who's not wearing the hijab, she's not sharifa, she's not noble. Well, she is disobeying and she has a major disobedience, but this is not a good conclusion. If her husband wants her to do that, she should disobey him. Some husbands tell their wives that take the hijab off. She should not, because we are supposed to differ than the people of the hellfire, or anyone who calls for the hellfire. And this is a call for the hellfire for herself and for himself, so she should not listen to him. Another thing that most women are unaware of, the great imagination that men have. Most of the sexual relating things is driven through men by imagination. Their imagination is beyond any imagination that a woman could think. In no way a woman can compete with man in imagination when it comes to that. And that's why they need to be really careful on what they dress and how they dress and how they talk and how they walk and how to do any of that thing. And if you know that, act on it. This is in a negative way to protect the man. But in a positive way, if you know the man has, your husband has so much imagination or that, a woman can do so many things with her husband to arouse that imagination and be very attractive to him, and he will benefit and she will benefit. Okay. So when we talk about imagination, women need to understand that just because the one in the front of you is a young man, 13, 14, 15 years old, it's not okay to display your beauty. Because the picture that they see, as I gave an example before, can last until death with that person. Yes, he's not going to show, he's not going to look it, he's not going to talk about it, but it's imprinted here. That's number one. Number two, women should understand that older men, or real old men, are not an exception. Older men, they need something to imagine. And older men take advantage, I'm talking about deviant ones. And older men need, okay, or take advantage of this, because the simplicity of women and their ignorance of men make them think that if a man is a little bit old, he doesn't care about that stuff. He doesn't look, he's like Papa. What does that do? Women displaying, and he is acting like an innocent child. He's enjoying it, and they have no idea what's going on. Why? Ignorance of this fact, how men imagine and how much they have that desire. Look at this, relating to that. Real story. Do we have Egyptians here? No? But no. I want some person to read it in Egyptian style. I'm going to read it. I'm going to do my best on that. I may read it in Palestinian style. This is a real story. A man is saying that, I have a friend, and they were sitting in a train. It was going from Cairo to Aswan. He looked and he found the seats in the train, two seats, turned around where the two seats facing the other two seats. So this man sat in it, righteous man, sat in it, and before he gets to turn anything, an older man walked in there, sat next to him, so he didn't get a chance to turn it. A minute later, who walked in there? A young man with a young woman who just got married. Well, she was not dressed in hijab. She's wearing suspenders. Arms are showing. Half of her chest is showing. Sat where? Across from the old man. Real old man. In the 60s, he said. Now the seats are in the same position, so nothing happened. So they sat there. As soon as she sat in the front of that old man, of course, the young man who was sitting next to him ignored the whole thing and started reading something. He looked at the old man, and the old man closed a fist, put his elbow on his knee. Just picture the scene. She's sitting in the front of him. And he put his elbow on his knee, and he went like this. His face, when he did that, got closer to her. It's already close. And he just focused, he penetrated her chest. She didn't like it. She kind of provoked her husband to do something, where her husband spoke up. This is an Egyptian style. Don't laugh at me. Allah, بتحترم نفسك. ده انت راجل كبير. عيب اللي بتعمله ده. ويا ريت تقعد كويس وتلف الكرسي. He looked at him and he said, أنا مش هقول لك احترم نفسك أنت، لأنه عيب عليك تخلي مراتك تلبس عريانة، أنت حر، يا رب تخليها تمشي الزلط ما دمت أنت قابل، لكن هقول لك أنت ملبسها كده عشان نشوف ونتفرج عليها. طب ادينا فرصة نتفرج عليها، زعلان ليه؟ بقى بص يا ابني، اللي بتقبل أن يكون مكشوف من جسم مراتك من حقنا كلنا نتفرج عليه، زعلان ليه؟ واللي مستور من حقك أنت الوحدة تتفرج عليه. وإن كنت زعلان أنا مقرب راسي شوي زيادة، أنا أعمل إيه؟ نظري ضعيف وكنت عايز أشوف كويس. Nobody speaks Arabic, right? Alhamdulillah. He said, why can't you, the young man, he looked at the old man, he said, why don't you respect yourself? You're an old man. What are you doing? And why don't you sit right and turn that chair the other way? So the old man looked at the angry young man and with all calmness, he said, I'm not going to tell you respect yourself because it is a shame on you to let your wife leave half naked. But it's your prerogative. If you want to let her go naked, it's your problem as long as you're happy with it. But I want to tell you something. You're making her dress like that because you want us to see her. So why are you upset? We are looking at her. But if you don't like this, you showed what you want to show from her, and we're looking at it. It's our right to look at it. And what you hid from her, it's your right to look at it. And if you see that it is too embarrassing for me to sit so close, it's because I can't see very well. I'm just getting closer to take a better look. Now, of course, this is not a good old man, because what he's saying, what you're showing is our right to look at it. Of course, this is haram. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. But I'm telling you, something really happened. Then everybody was talking. The man got really embarrassed. The man saying he got really embarrassed. His wife's face was red. He took her hand and he left the train, especially when everybody in the train was talking of approval of what the old man was saying. So what's the catch from this story? Old man, someone in front of him, look at his behavior. Women, if they cannot understand that, then they cannot relate to it. But at the same time, look at diatha. Diatha, what is diatha? A person who is not, who doesn't get jealous when he let his wife go without hijab, or when a man speaks with his wife or look at his wife. This is, we call that in Islam, dayuth. Dayuth will not enter the Jannah before he goes to hellfire and get punished for that. So to be dayuth is a major sin. And the man who allows his wife to do that is committing a major sin. Look at the companions radiallahu anhum. When the ayah was revealed, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ, those people who slander the chaste women, and they don't come with four witnesses, then they need to be lashed 80 times. When this ayah was revealed, Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu an, he was there. Because one man came accusing his wife, he caught her sleeping with someone. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, four witnesses or you're going to be lashed. And he's talking about his wife. He said, O Prophet of Allah, he said, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you better have four witnesses or you're going to get lashed. He said, by Allah, Allah is going to reveal something for me. And he was so honest and so sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to support him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did support him. And it made it, if a husband accuses his wife, he needs to swear four times that he saw what he saw. This is what we call li'an in Arabic. This is not the point. The point is, Sa'd ibn Ubadah was present when Prophet Muhammad told the man, told the companion radiallahu anh, bring four witnesses. Sa'd ibn Ubadah could not register that in his brain. He said, O Prophet of Allah, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I believe in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I find someone, I have a woman, and I find someone on top of her. I let him finish, and I go look for four. By Allah, I will hit him with this sword from the sharp side. Him and her. Now, it appears that it's an objection to the command. It's not, because he confirmed the fact from the beginning, but he's telling you how jealous he is. He was so jealous from that, to the point the companions told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, forgive him. He is so jealous, to the point that he's never married any woman but virgin. And if he divorced a woman, no one from us dares to marry her again. Yani basically, if he marries a woman and divorced her, she's doomed. No man will marry her. Because if he does, his jealousy will do something to that man. And this is the testimony of the companions, not himself saying it. But look at Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, how he approved him. He said, O people, do you hear what your master says? We know Sa'd ibn Ubadah is the chief of the Ansar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. So they told him this, and then he said, are you surprised of how jealous Sa'd is? By Allah, I am more jealous, and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is more hating than me and Sa'd for his commands to be broken. So look at the level of how noble or how much a person needs to be when it comes to caring for his wife, to go dressed properly, behave properly, talk properly, and all of that. And the person who doesn't is referred to as the youth. Now, jealousy in general is not something good. But in this aspect, it is good and it is preferred. When you see your wife dressed in a way that she is appealing to other men, and you get angry and you tell her, change that or something like that, she should love it. And she should respect it. And she should understand that this man really loves her. He is not exposing her for everyone else. He is taking care for her in this world and the hereafter. And this is the responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said everyone is responsible. And everyone is going to be questioned about that responsibility. Look at the poet. He says, إن الرجال الناظرين إلى النساء مثل الكلاب تطوف باللحمان إن لم تصن تلك اللحوم أسودها أكلت بلا عوض ولا أثمان. That men who are roaming their vision, looking at women, are like dogs roaming around prey. If this flesh, or if the lions of that prey does not protect it, then it will be devoured and consumed and eaten without a price or cheaply. It means men generally have that desire. Deviant men are everywhere. When they see women exposing themselves, then definitely they're going to look at her just like a hungry lion seeing a prey. Well, if the lion, referring to the husband, is not protecting that prey, which is his wife, and the way she dresses, then she will be devoured free. Yani people are going to look at her and they're going to do everything else for no cost. So the command is here, looking at men, take care of your women because of the other lions or cheap lions that are there. Brothers and sisters, we are here in a community. This is where we left off last time, where you see that promiscuity is everywhere, and clothing is becoming so cheap. The smaller the part, the more expensive it is. The less clothing you have, the more expensive it is. If you compare the prices of a full dress with the price of a half a dress or barely covering dress, you find it's more expensive. So the issue is not material. The issue is flesh. People are selling flesh, not material. Now you're living in here and you're seeing all of that. What this does when you see that this flesh is so cheaply revealed, it leads to what? It leads to killing the desire for sex. Because the body is an instrument that arouses the man. When you reveal that body, the arousal is increased. If this is so common every day you see it, then you need something else. You need something more hidden. Remember, we're talking, the imagination is so high. So it leads to what? To a person is in need for something which we call Viagra. Ever heard of it? Alhamdulillah. Nobody heard of Viagra, right? Your grandparents call you and ask you for it, right? Brother, you look at me like you live in Ohio. Nobody heard of Viagra? Viagra, Viagra, whatever it is. We don't care about how you spell it or how you say it. We have doctors here, they don't hear about it. Maybe they use it? Why? Why people need that? And this is available for men and women. Why they use that? Because of the problems that they have. Everything is so there, so revealed, nothing to arouse the imagination. They see everything. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing special. You get married before, you've never seen anything or almost nothing from the woman body. Now you've seen everything. So it kills that. It kills that. This is a sick thing. That so here you have also traditions and customs that when a person sleeps with his wife, total nude, nakedness, or the male and the female looking at their privates, or a woman and a male playing with each other totally in any part of their bodies. Now, this is a reality. This is a reality that we are living in. There's no need to blush, and there's no need to bury your head, and there's no need. It's a reality that you need to face it, and you need to have a cure for it in an Islamic way. So when you see all of that here, we should not really look at it in a resentful way, but deep inside, we're not doing anything about it. We should not dismiss it logically. We're seeing it. It's happening. Our children, ourselves, may have it, may see it, may suffer from it, may fall in it. Therefore, we have to direct it in an Islamic way. So put your traditions and put your customs aside and look at one thing. Is it permissible in Islam? Is it haram in Islam? This is what we need to address. It is haram to say anything haram unless you have a proof. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the biggest kind of lies, to say something unlawful to something that is lawful or other way around. So it's a dangerous thing. And we should, people of knowledge, tend to facilitate things than making things difficult when it comes to halal. As long as you know it's halal and there is a proof, you don't want to complicate things and make it hard for people. Islam came to make things easy and facilitated. Prophet Muhammad will give you the reasons. Number one, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, احفظ عورتك إلا عن زوجتك وما ملكت يمين. Keep your privates to yourself. You're the only one who can look at them, except from your wife. What is awra? Awra in Arabic, anything, it has another name, sawa. Sawa, the thing that when other people see, it bothers you. This is the awra, your privates. You get angry. You don't want anyone to see it. You do everything to cover it. This is awra. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, protect your awra except from your wife. Now this is conclusive. And the same thing for the woman from her husband. What is the awra of the woman? All her body parts except face and hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, commended people, those who chased their privates. And then he said, except from their wives. This is permissible. They don't have to worry about that. Imam Ibn Hazm rahimahullah, he said, there is no even dislike in a male, a husband and a wife looking at each other's privates. And in fact, he said in his great book, Al-Muhalla, حَلَالٌ لِلْرَجُلْ أَلْ يَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ فَرْجِ امْرَأَتِهِ وَكَذَلِكْ لَهَا أَنْ تَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ فَرْجِهِ لَا كَرَاهِيَّ فِي ذَلِكَ أَصْلًا. It is permissible for the husband to look at the private of his wife and his wife look at the private of her husband, and there is no even dislikes in that. We're not saying haram. You know, a step lower than haram is hated or disliked, which means if you don't do it, you're rewarded. If you do it, you're not sinning. It's not there even. So he said, in reality, it is permissible. Also, the proofs that Aisha and Salama and Maymuna radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here is what they say. أَنَّهُنَّ كُنَّ يَغْتَسِلْنَ مَعْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الْجِنَابَ فِي إِنَاءٍ وَاحِدٍ. They used to shower with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together. It's impossible to think that you shower with one and you don't see their privates. Another one. Maymuna radiallahu anha, she said that كان صلى الله عليه وسلم بغير مئزر أخذ بيده الماء أدخل يده في الإناء أفرغ على فرجه وغسله بشماله. She said he washed his hand, put his hand in the water, took water, washed his privates with his left hand. Where was she looking? Okay. Also, logic. How is it permissible for someone to have sexual intercourse with something and to be prohibited to look at it? Logic. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you can protect yourself except from your wives. So this is a verse that is to be taken and understood that you need to safeguard your privates, but it is general exception from your wives looking, touching, whatever it is an exception when it comes to the wife. Anything can be done. This is derived from where? From the understanding of the ayah. Keep it, protect it, except from your wife. And remember what we said before? Marriage contract is like you grant your wife the right to devour your body any way she wants within the limits of Islam. And she grants you the right to devour her body sexually in anything that Islam does not prohibit. Look at this one here. Aisha radiallahu anha said that I used to wash with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from one pot. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said The scholars deduce from this hadith that it is permissible for the man to look at the private of his wife and the other way around. And Sulaiman ibn Musa, he asked about a man who looks at the private of his wife. He said, I asked Ata. Who's Ata? One of the great Atba' al-Tabi'een, who is a specialty in tafsir, explanation or interpretation of the Quran. He said, I asked Ata. He told me, I asked Aisha, the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, myself. Then she told me that hadith, which means I used to wash, shower with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the same pot. Look at this. He comes and says, oh Aisha, is it permissible for a man to look at the private of his wife and the wife to look at the private of her man? What was the answer? A subtle way. In a subtle way, I used to shower with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the same pot. What does she mean by that? Yes or no? Yes. Permissible. It's very obvious. Look where the question is and how she answers. So the ulama said, this is nas fil mas'ala. Yani, this is an evidence, a direct evidence from Aisha radiallahu anha that it is allowed and permissible. Because the reason I'm talking about this, because we said something before. You know, there's a weak hadith, weak narration that a person vision will lose his vision if he does look. And one of the brothers came and told me when we started that, he said, brother, there's a hadith that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported that Aisha said that he never seen her privates and his privates sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all these are weak ahadith, and this is the authentic ahadith that tells you directly. Now, if this were to be true, that sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Aisha or the companions never saw, okay, this will be understood from their extra righteousness, from their extra cleanliness, from their extra perception of their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They chose not to do that. This is like, it is halal for us to enjoy ourselves and eat and drink and do all of those things, yet you find some people who try to live simply. Okay? Does that mean those who don't live simply haram? No. Does it mean that if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never saw, or Aisha, the companions, never saw, does that mean it's haram? No. This is a decision that a person takes. Tayyib. Is this correct time? 10:18? Really? That's it? Wallahi, I thought it was 12:18. So how much time we have? 12 minutes? Khalas, 12 minutes inshallah we'll finish it. When you're talking about someone, or you're talking to someone, by the way, you know, if you have something that a man wants to say to his spouse and vice versa, there are hints. You know, let's get into psychology a little bit. If you're a man talking to his wife or a wife talking to his man in reference to sexual things, look directly in the eyes of the person you are talking to. You can generalize that to any other things, but we're talking specifically your husband and wife. Look directly in the eyes, and particularly in the pupil. If you see the pupil, when you say something, expanding, it means whatever you're saying is very pleasing information to the other side, without them expressing in words. Just look directly, the pupil expands, they know whatever you suggested, whatever you asked, whatever is something good, but maybe you have to read between the lines. Number one. Number two, if the pupil narrows down, that means whatever you said is very saddening. Change the subject. and be careful. If the eyes, okay, became narrower and smaller, it does mean that the person who is listening to you is not believing what you are saying, or at least the last part that you are saying. You know, you're saying to someone something and he goes, I have a friend, his name is John, he does that all the time. Every time that I see him doing that, I do more explanation. If the eyes turn to the right, okay, that means the person is trying to visualize what you're talking about, to come to the conclusion from what you are saying. Especially men. When they cross their eyes to the right, Allah knows what they are thinking. The fifth one, if the eyes turn to the left, that means the person, especially if he raises his vision up, left side, that this person is remembering something in the past about what you are talking about. This is very important. Wallahi, brother, can you relate to the topic in any way from what I'm saying? What is the relationship of this one here, the last one? A man, a woman talking to her husband. While this man crossed his eyes, looked to the left and looked up, conclusion, he's thinking and relating to something in the past. Think of whatever she's thinking or she's asking him or she's talking about. Then conclusion, there could be a fight. What are you thinking of? Aha, you've done it before. No. The other one the same way. So any of those, if you can see, you can conclude something. It's either happiness or sadness, or the person is willing, or the person is remembering, or the person trying to understand. Now, if the person looks down, that means he is consulting with himself. And he is consulting with his feelings, and he's really talking to himself. If he breathes slowly or he holds his breath, then after that he takes a deep breath, that means he came to a conclusion. And you say something and then the other person looks down, no breathing, then that comes a conclusion, and then you will get something. Brothers, so far we're talking about the feelings of the man. Well, Islam did not ignore the feelings of the woman, and Islam does not want the male to just use the woman to please himself and ignore her. Therefore, there are major directions in Islam how to take care of the woman, the spouse, to fulfill her sexual need. Because so far it's including, but there are special directions. Women are included all the time when we talk about men, but there are special instructions for women, or what to do for women to reach that or to get that satisfaction, to tell us that some men may not get it. This is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُلُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. Tell men, believing men, to lower their gaze and chase their privates. This is more good and more right and pure for them. Well, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell the men, it's including tell the women too. But because people may not get it like that, or because the customs that we have, always focuses on the man not to look, many women roam their eyes and look at men freely without anyone denying that. You don't see women, if we are here and women climbing all over the windows looking at us, you would not see someone saying, "Sister, sister, stop looking." Did you ever see that? Did you ever hear that? But look, if sisters are somewhere and one brother looks, everybody will jump on him. Does that mean it's halal for them to look like men? No. There are limits for that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the next ayah and he said, وَقُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ, and command the chaste women to lower their gaze. This is an emphasizing ayah of the previous one. They are included in the previous one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized it more to let us know that this command is not special for men only, and let no one understand it like that. Similar to, you should not enter a house where a strange woman is. Well, the customs are, my sister-in-law is not strange to me. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, death is better for you than to enter a house your sister-in-law is there. Why? Because the customs see it, it's okay. And it's not okay Islamically, so it was emphasized more on the relative than the stranger. So this is why we're going to address, inshallah, the other side, how Islam came to take care of women. Before we do that, we'll tell you a story, and that's next time, inshallah. We'll tell the sisters a final thing, how to understand her husband when he reaches 40 and up. That is an age, a crucial age for men, and some people think in a good way, but once you hear about it, what you're thinking is going to be twisted a little bit. That doesn't deny what you already know, but it's going to be a little bit different than what you think. And that is there, by understanding that the woman knows how to deal with her husband at that age, 40 and on. And that will, I just give you a hint. When you see a man interested in a Corvette, you're in trouble. That's for the sisters. You know what a Corvette is, right? We're talking cars now. Now switch that thinking a little bit. Anyone has a Corvette? Okay. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If you have any questions, we'll continue that topic inshallah next time. Any questions? Her mind is stressed. Okay.
His mind is
stressed in his work. Tayyib. The question is, a man is trying to be intimate with his wife when he is busy or thinking about work. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no man has two hearts. You have one heart. And if you are doing something and your mind is in something else, definitely you're not going to do it right, you're not going to really enjoy it, and the other person is going to feel that. This is like someone forcing you to do a job that you don't like to do. You're not going to do it good, and the other person is not going to like it. So naturally, if the man does that and his mind is at work, he needs to do one of the two. leave thinking about work. He should not really get intimate when his mind is preoccupied with something else, because once you want to be intimate, your focus is what you have. That is the only thing you're thinking about. So the woman needs to do something to help him get his mind away from work. Let him finish his work, get some other time or something. But once you get yourself involved with an intimate relationship and your mind is with something else, conclusion, you're going to cause more problems in the relationship because you're not going to satisfy yourself or satisfy the other person.
Brother gets angry with his wife because she won't approach him for a relationship, although she never refuses him, and she found out that she is very shy to him, although he wants her to. What can she do if her husband is trying to make her behave in that way that she is uncomfortable?
She wants him, right? She never refuses him.
Yes.
The woman never refuses him, but she is not comfortable. Not comfortable, why?
Because she's shy.
Shy, tired. Shyness is a good quality that is actually a major turn-on for a man. So her shyness is a positive thing for the man, and that is what most women are losing when they are exposing themselves outside in relationship and talking to men and all that. So her shyness is a positive way. His approach to her in that makes him intensify his approach because he likes shyness and he likes to embarrass her. It is a turn on for him. Okay, if she understands that, and she understands that her shyness is a positive thing that she should be thanked for and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, she should not refuse him. She should go along with him and enjoy herself.
Yeah, this is regarding out of topic from the. Is there any verse or sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about who keeps the children after divorce, the man or the husband?
The woman or the husband, or the man or the husband?
The man or the husband, and the wife.
Who gets the children?
Yes.
Well, in Islam, usually for men, for boys, it depends about the madhab. For the boys, at 7, they stay with the mother until 7, and for the girls until 9. Some madahib, they stay until 9 for the boys and 11 for the girls, then they go with the father. And remember that when you have the custody, it doesn't mean it's permanent. It keeps fluctuating. When you ask the child, like when the time passes, let's say 7 and 9, if the daughter is 10 and she is with the father, they will ask, do you want to stay with your father? The judge will ask, or your mother. Then if she says my mother, then she would go with her mother. Then would ask her later on, do you want to stay with your, she says my father, she can go back. Whatever, where the benefit is for the child, that's where he should go. It's not a permanent thing. Once a man has it, it's all the time for him, or once a woman has it, it's all the time for him. So it's either 7 or 9 or 9 or 11. The woman has the right for her son or her daughter up to 7 or 9, depending on the male or female, provided that she does not get married. If she gets married, she doesn't have the right for the son. Any questions in Trada?
Go ahead. One of the members came to
my.
He wants to talk to you, Islam, and I came here all the way to catch you. So would you?
I'll talk to Islam. Okay. Any other questions, brothers?
No, this is off topic.
Brother, let me tell you something. I will not answer your questions aside. This is to inform and let everyone understand what we are doing. If your question is benefiting others, then don't come and whisper it to me.
Okay. If a person only eats to be happy, that doesn't have anything to do with this. That's what I was trying to say.
If there's no topic outside,
don't
discuss.
Yeah, really.
I
if off the topic, then we'll talk privately.
Yeah, off topic.
Actually, it has a relationship, but it's all right.
That's important.
We'll ask you next time.
Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka
wa atubu ilayk.
Zabi Hamid. Brother,
thank
you. Okay, what's it mean?